الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون وقال تعالى للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المهاجر من هجر الخطايا والذنوب أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Respected beloved ulama, elders and brothers, on this occasion of Ashura, also the month of Muharram, from time to time we have heard various ulama, we have heard our Hazrat speak about various aspects of the month of Muharram and Ashura. And we are all aware of the fact that in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he would write letters to the various governors in the different parts of the Islamic Hukumat, then there was no real fixed period of time that one could set down the date. The month was ascertained, the date of the month was ascertained, but which year, that was not ascertained. Hence, in the Khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he called a mashura with those sahaba that were present and the tabi'een, and he asked them the rai, he asked them the opinion regarding when should the Islamic calendar or when should the Islamic year begin. Hence, various sahaba had given various opinions, like for example, from the date of Nubuwat, that should be regarded as the mark of the Islamic calendar. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu settled for the opinion which was his own also amongst others, that the Islamic calendar should begin from the hijrah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he explained to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum also the value of the hijrat in Islam, that after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had made hijrat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors of Islam. From a point of weakness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given this deen great strength. And then together with that, if you go on and we look, that Allah Rabbul Izzat in Makkah Mukarramah had confined deen to various aspects only. But after the hijrat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, more and more laws were revealed. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was practiced openly and more people entered the deen of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Hence it was the hijrat in actual fact that had really given strength to Islam and brought Islam through its glory. Hence Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's opinion was that the Islamic calendar begin from the hijrat, and of course those sahaba that were present over there had also acknowledged and agreed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat and he entered Madinah Tayyibah in the month of Rabiul Awwal. If you looked at it logically also, the Nabi of Allah was born in the month of Rabiul Awwal. He reached Madinah Tayyibah also in the month of Rabiul Awwal. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world also in Rabiul Awwal. But as Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu further explained to these Sahaba, that although Rabiul Awwal was the time when Nabi alayhi salatu was salam had made hijrat and come to Madina Tayyiba, but the actual irada and the command of Allah that had come down to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in the month of Muharram. Hence Muharram was then the first month of the Islamic calendar, and then the Islamic calendar had begun from the hijrah. Hence we will find that now 1426 years after the hijrah of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. Although at that time the hijrat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had begun in his own lifetime, if you open the kitabs of Islamic history, we will find that the intizam, the arrangements of the hijrat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had taken place some 700 years before the Nabi of Allah had come onto this earth. It comes in the kitabs, Rawdul Anf, and then Mawlana Idris Kandalvi rahmatullah alayhi makes mention of this in his Siratul Mustafa, that in the times of the past, there was a person who was known as Tubba. It was a title of the king or the leader of Yemen. Allah makes mention of the Qawm Tubba in places in the Quran Kareem also. This person went from various places, from place to place, he fought the local people, he conquered and he was victorious. And with him, in one riwayat it states he had 400 ulama of the Yahud with him. And then he came to Madina Tayyiba. When he had come to Madina Tayyiba, there is a variance of the narrations. But one narration states that these Yahud, these ulama of the Yahud asked him, ijazat, asked him permission, that we wish to remain in this place of Madina Tayyiba and we do not want to go forward. At that time it was known as Yathrib. He inquired from them the reason after all. That of course to be part of the entourage of a king, to be part of the courtiers of a king is a very great nobility and status as far as man is concerned, as far as this dunya is concerned. You are sacrificing all that to stay in this place, Yathrib. They responded and they replied and they said that when we look into our kitabs, we realize and we understand from the fiza of Yathrib, from the environment and the atmosphere of this place, that this is the description of the place that Allah has spoken about as the Darul Hijrah of the last Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, 700 years before the Nubuwat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam. Hence he had granted them this permission that they remain in Madina Tayyiba. And then he had given each one of them an amount of money that they may settle down in Madina and build their own homes. And together with that, he had made a special arrangement that one home be built for the last Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And together with that, he had given a letter in the form of a poetry, that if this letter can be passed on from generation to generation, and if this comes in the hand of the last Nabi, it will be appreciated. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, 700 years thereafter, comes to Madina Tayyiba. That is why it is stated, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the greatest human being after the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the greatest human being after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But even before the Nubuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, three people accepted the Nubuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. One was the Tubba. One was Habib Najjar. We read every day Yasin, Waja'a min aqsal madinati rajul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a person that left from the extreme corner of a city. That person, Habib al-Najjar, had accepted Iman on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, although not at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. 600 years before the nubuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then of course, in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the verse of Iqra was revealed, before even nubuwat, Waraqa bin Nawfal had accepted Iman at the hands of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also. Hence this Tubba, he made this arrangement. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes to Madina Munawwara. And when he settles in the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari as the great mu'ajiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we know the qissa, I won't go into the details, that the camel of Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam enters Medina, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam made the faisla that wherever this camel settles, that is the house I will also settle in. And he came to the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari. It comes in a riwayat, it comes in a narration that Abu Ayyub Ansari lived in that house that was specially built for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He's from the lineage, his ancestors was amongst those people who were with Tubba at that time. And that letter also came down from one person to the other, and that letter was received by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What was in that letter? Shahiddu ala أَلَا أَنَّهُ أَحْمَدَ رَسُولٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ بَارِ النَّسَمِ. That I bear witness to the fact that Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the true Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَوْ مَدَّ عُمَرِي إِلَىٰ أُمَرِهِ. If my age had lengthened its time and it spread and it would have reached his time also. In other words, if I would have been so fortunate to have seen his time, then undoubtedly, he says, لَكُنْتُ لَهُ وَزِيرًا وَبْنَ عَمِّي. Then I would have become his wazir, his helper. I would have assisted him. وَجَاهَدْتُ بِالسَّيْفِ أَعْدَاءَهُ. And then I would have taken my sword and I would have fought his enemies also. وَفَرَّجْتُ مِنْ صَدْرِهِ كُلَّ. And I would have opened from his heart all that gham, all that difficulties that he said with that sorrow and that grief that the kuffar had given him, I would have removed it. In other words, I would have fought. He was a person of power. Hence, that letter came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is how we have seen this letter in the riwayats that have come down to us also. So respected and dear friends, that the hijrat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had taken place in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But undoubtedly the intizam for that hijrat was made 7 centuries before the coming of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hijrat is no easy issue. It was not easy upon Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu ta'ala anhum to have left their homes from Makkah Mukarramah and come to Madina Tayyibah. There were many challenges, there were many difficulties, there were very harsh conditions that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had to go through to come to Madina Tayyibah for the sake and the cause of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Sahaba the command and permission that now you may leave Makkah after extreme difficulties, then the first Sahabi after this command, one was Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam had dispatched Hazrat Musab ibn Umayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Medina to teach the people of Medina the deen of Islam and to invite them and give them da'wah towards Islam. But the first person to have made hijrat with his family was a Sahabi Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he hears this command, he takes his wife Umme Salama, who later became the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Abu Salama takes his wife Umme Salama and he places her on his camel, and together they have a little child, and the three of them, the mother, father and the little child, now prepares to move towards Madina Tayyibah. When the family of Umme Salama had come, they were not in deen at that particular time, and they snatched her and they grabbed her away. And they did not allow her to travel with Abu Salama, despite the fact that he had made nikah, he was married to her. But they said that this is our daughter, we will not allow her to leave Makkah. Then the family of Abu Salama come, and they snatch the child away from Umme Salama. And they say that this is our child from our progeny. We will not allow him to go with his father, who has become a Sabi, who has left our deen. And we will not allow him to stay with you because you are not in our family. Hence the child goes separately. The father, Abu Salama, he looks at his wife, he looks at his child, and at the same time he looks at the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He looks in his heart, with the insight of his heart, that hijrat that he has to make for the sake of Allah. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. That person whose hijrat is for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then undoubtedly his hijrat is for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This Sahabi does not look left, he does not look right. He does not look at his wife, he does not look at his child, nor does he look at his family, and he continues straight ahead from Makkah Mukarramah and he continues to Medina. And this Sahabi like that reaches Medina Tayyibah. On the other hand, Umme Salama herself narrates that my condition and my situation was such that for 1 year I would stand on the road to Medina. For 1 year, every morning at sunrise, I would come and I would stand on the road to Medina like a woman that has become insane, and I would look at the road towards Medina, that how am I going to reach Medina? Until after 1 year, sanity had prevailed. Abu Salma's family, his cousin had brought the child back to me, and like that I had taken my child, and together we traveled, the two of us. Of course, on the way we met a person, and that person inquired from me, where are you going? I replied, I'm going to Madina Tayyibah. The person asked, who is with you? You are a woman, who is with you? She replied, La wallah, I have no one illallah, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa hadha bunayya, and this little child of mine. It is my Allah, and with this child I shall reach my destination. I will make hijrat in the cause and the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Respected and dear friends, those were the challenges, those were the difficulties that Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala who went through. And if you open the kitabs of Islamic history, we will find a rich history of the sacrifice of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. We read the story of Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that how he had given his wealth in Makkah to save himself purely so that he could make hijrat towards Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it was this hijrat of Allah towards Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that marked the beginning of the Islamic era. And it was in this hijrat also that Allah Rabbul Izzat had given this deen great glory in the eyes of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and today we witness this. Hence we are in this month of Muharram, the new month of the Islamic calendar that has been marked by the hijrat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And undoubtedly we find that the way of the Yahud and the Nasara and all the other people of this material world, that when they come to the new year, then they make some resolutions. And their resolutions also is just New Year's resolutions. A mu'min and a believer, we also need to make resolute decisions. And our decisions are supposed to be an ongoing thing. Continuously, we are also supposed to be making these decisions. On the one hand, the hijrat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. On the other hand, the riwayat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In Bayhaqi, Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullah alayhi has narrated in his Shu'ab al-Iman a portion of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wal mujahidu man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah. That whilst many people will have this jazba of jihad and going and fighting out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if I clearly remember on a previous occasion on this day of Ashura, we had spoken much about shahadat, martyrdom, that is a thing that we should aspire, a thing that we should be desiring for the sake and the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Martyrdom should be desired to such an extent. We find in the riwayat that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, unlike us, we, when somebody leaves on a journey, we have the very good habit, and we will say it is maturity, we will say it is nobility, that we make the dua for that person, that may Allah Ta'ala take you safely and Allah bring you safely also. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were those that when a wife saw her husband go out in the path of Allah, she would make dua, may Allah take you safely and Allah never bring you back. A child would say to his father, oh my father, may Allah take you safely and Allah don't bring you back. We remember and we recall that one incident, that in Madina Tayyibah, in a room, in a house, that there was lying a janazah of a person, and the little girl of that person, the little daughter of that person was crying. And people began to console her like how we would normally console a little child. And they began to tell the child that your father is gone to the house of Allah. Your father is gone, probably where he is better for him than where he would have been. In other words, he is there by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as people consoled her, then when she came to grips with herself and she gained control, she said to the people, Wallah, I am not crying at the loss of my father, but I am crying because my father left this world and he did not leave this world in the path of Allah. He did not die a death of shahadat. Respected and dear friends, that was the attitude, that was the mindset of Madina Tayyibah after the hijrat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Rabbul Izzat bears testimony to this fact also, that today when a person migrates from one place to another, there are always some ulterior motives. It is either because of the instability of one economy, because of perhaps the violence, and because of various factors that are attached to materialism, that one person will want to leave one country and go to another country. Once a person mentioned to Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi ki Hazrat dua farmaye ke main waha ja raha hu, I am leaving this country and I am going overseas. He, Mufti Sahib, asked him why. The person explained the halat and conditions of South Africa. He said, when you go there, give the Allah of that place my salams. Give the Allah of that place my salams. To you it seems as though that here there is a different Allah and there there is a different Allah. It is our amal, it is our actions. So we have various reasons why we leave one place and we make hijrat and go to another place. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had their own, and Allah Rabbul Izzat bears testimony in the Quran Kareem, lil fuqara illadina. Those people who were fuqara, those people who were destitute and in a state of destitution. Today, before we leave one country and go to another country, we have to set up guarantees. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this was not the case with Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They were those people that made hijrat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Rabbul Izzat bears testimony to the fact that when they made this hijrat, when they migrated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The intention was purely for the sake of Allah. وَيَنْصُرُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And then they assisted Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That they did not find the hijrat to be the end of their life. That now we have left everything we have achieved and this is the culmination of our life. But they also, they went out, and Allah Ta'ala says in many ayahs of the Quran Kareem that the hajaru, after they make hijrat, wajahadu fi sabilillah, they make the jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us that the jihad of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that was a different jihad. The jihad of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, their endeavors was different. Ya Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullah alayhi states that the who is a real mujahid, wal mujahidu alladhi najaa, wal mujahidu, the mujahid is that person alladhi jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah, aw kama qal, is that person that makes jihad with his own nafs. He makes jihad with his own desires. He makes jihad with all his own pleasures. He breaks his own pleasures for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi ta'atillah, in the obedience of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Like that, similarly, we speak about the hijrat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We speak about the hijrat of various sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. In the very same hadith, Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullah alayhi narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal muhajiru. Who is a muhajir? The real and true muhajir is this, that person, alladhi hajara, that person who leaves al khataya wa dhunub. He leaves all types of sins, minor sins and major sins. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum left their homes. Allah Rabbul Izzat is asking from us, let us leave our pleasures that are not in conformity to the commandments of Allah. Let us leave our evils, let us leave our sins, and let us also make hijrat. Hijrat means at-tark, to leave something. Let us leave our sins, let us leave our bad ways, and let us turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the resolute decision that we need to make, that the year has come, and years will come, and years will go. Moments will come, and moments will pass. But as mu'mineen and as ummatis of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this is the real resolution that we should be making in this month of Muharram. And every day renew and refreshen this resolution that we are making, that, oh Allah, for your sake, I will leave my ills, I will leave my bad, I will leave all my sins. And then of course, there is one thing that we get caught up with, and often the question is this a major sin, is this a minor sin? The poet says it so beautifully, خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا وَذَاكَ التُّقَى. Many of us are looking for taqwa, many of us are looking for piety. The poet says that leave major sins, leave minor sins, and this is taqwa. How should a mu'min and how should a believer lead his life on this world? He says also that you should become like that person, mashi ala arudi shawki. He should be like that person that walks on a thorny path, walks on a thorny road, and yahzaru ma yara. He saves himself from every thorn that he sees. Every thorn that he sees, he tries to save himself. And today we will find many, many thorns in our path. The thorns of secularism and modernism and postmodernism, the thorns of our own nafs and our own desires, the thorns of all the challenges that we have in front of us, let us try and save it. And then he says, لا تحقرن صغيرة, لا تحقرن صغيرة فإن الجبال من الحصى. Do not belittle a minor sin, a small sin, because remember that mountains are made from little, little stones. It is those little stones that make up a great mountain, and it is those little sins that will make up the great sin in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The great sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, used to say, "Kullu ma nuhiya anhu fahuwa kabira." That everything that Allah has prohibited us from, we should take it as being a major sin, because if we are violating the law of Allah, we are earning the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this should be also one resolution. Also at the beginning of this year, if we look at it in reality, we should also take cognizance and we should begin to think. It is also our financial year end that comes in a few days' time, and many of us are busy with our stock take, and many of us are looking as how we can set our balance sheets, and many of us are looking at how much of tax we need to pay. Similarly, we need to take stock also. We need to take muhasabah of the past life that we have passed, and look at the life ahead of us. And if one word of advice Allah has given us in the Quran, wal asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us in this ayat, and in the ahadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken abundantly about time. Let us try. You see, in today's time, brothers, we have technology that has so advanced that we can extract blood from a person, and then we can bank that blood. We can store that blood. And like that we can do with the cells of the human body. And like that we can store and we can bank and we can do many, many things that we could not do in the past. But there is one thing that no technology has come out with, is we can bank time. We can stop time. And that we have never ever come across. So hence, at this particular time, we should take cognizance of this fact. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Ali, for example, he says, first of all, regarding the surah, he says that the surah is so short, but in its meaning it is so deep. We will not go into the surah itself. But together he says that amongst the things I learned with the Sufis, that when I went out with the mutasawwifin, with those ahlullah, the one thing I learned is about time. That time is like a sword, that if you do not cut time, time will cut you. So respected and dear friends, let us go into this. The great Abdullah ibn Mubarak has written a kitab, Kitab al-Riqab. In Kitab al-Riqaq, he speaks about the various ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which remind a person about the hereafter. And the very first hadith he brings is about time also. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahab rahmatullah alayhi was so particular about time, it is stated that when he would go into the toilet to relieve himself, then of course at that time it is free time. But yet he would feel that he is wasting his time, although it is a necessity. He would wash the lota. He would wash the lota and fill the lota for the next person, so that he would not waste his time in the toilet also. He will be of some value to mankind. Those were the ahlullah, those were the people of the past. So that also we need to bring into our life, that as far as our time is concerned, let us try and value our time and bring our time into proper use. And the greatest of all the uses is bring it in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes in a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that person who spends his time in the dhikr and ibadat of Allah. And the dhikr and ibadat of Allah means in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tomorrow on the day of qiyamah, that person will have no regret, no remorse. Then the other thing we will find as far as the hadith of Ashura is concerned, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had come to Madina Tayyibah, the very, very famous hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had observed that the Yahuda also fasting. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam inquired from them as to the reason why they are fasting, and they said that this was the day that Allah Rabbul Izzat had emancipated Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam responded that we have a greater right to Musa alayhi salam, and we will also fast on this day. Now together with this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also stated that we will fast one day more than what the Yahud will fast. If I live the next year, then I will also fast 9th together with the 10th, or the 10th and the 11th. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explicitly does this. His explanation is that we should not follow the Yahud in the manner and in the way that they are making ibadat. Respected and dear friends, if we go through the Quran Kareem, you will be amazed to find the ayats that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this issue. Like for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about roza, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the fasting of Ramadan, Allah ta'ala says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ وَلِتُكْمِلُ الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ.
Allah Rabbul Izzat intended ease for you, Allah did not intend difficulty. And then why Allah Rabbul Izzat says this? So that you will complete the period of fasting, and so that you will praise Allah, you will celebrate the greatness of Allah, like how Allah had guided you. That if you want to say the great, if you want to praise Allah, and we as an ummah, if we want to show the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot do it in the way and in the manner that we desire to do it, but it has to be done in the way Allah Rabbul Izzat has shown us. Like that, as far as Hajj is concerned, وَذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا هَدَاكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that remember Allah like how Allah had guided you. You cannot remember Allah in the way you so desire. As far as Salat is concerned, also, وَذْكُرُوهُ كَمَا عَلَّمَكُمْ. Allah Rabbul Izzat says, remember Allah like how Allah taught you to remember Him. Like that in the Quran Kareem, as far as our ibadat are concerned, as far as our deen is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a complete and a total way of life. With regards to this also, that if we, as far as our deen is concerned or otherwise, if we begin to follow the enemies of Islam, if we begin to follow the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah Rabbul Izzat is very explicit at the very beginning of the Quran. وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُم مِّنْ دِينِكُمْ كُفَّارًا. That the desire, the burning desire of those people who are the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the Ahle Kitab, what is the desire? لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا. They desire that they change you and they turn you away from iman to kufr after you have brought iman. وَلَنْ تَرَضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this address, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very explicit to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Yahood and the Nasara will never be pleased with you until and unless you follow their deen. Respected and dear friends, in every aspect, there are over 50 ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphatically warned us that we have a complete way of life. We have a total way of life. And let us bring that way of life like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu dhkulu fi silmi kaffa. O you who believe, you have already brought iman. And that is the person whom Allah is addressing. You have brought iman in Allah, udhkulu fi silmi kaffa. Now enter Islam completely in totality. Like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Sibghatallah. The color, the dye, the stain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us know, it is common experience, that if a person dyes a cloth, we cannot remove the dye from the cloth except if we bleach. But it is a difficult process. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show that like how the cloth and the dye now have become integral parts of each other, that is how a mu'min and a believer should be as far as the deen of Allah is concerned. That we should enter the deen of Allah in totality completely. And the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters our lifestyle. So hence this is one issue that we should be reminding ourselves on Ashura. Besides keeping the roza, let us reflect that how much of the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have I brought in my life? How much of the deen of Allah Rabbul Izzat have I brought in my life in comparison to the life of the others, the lifestyle of others that I have brought into my life? Then we will find that many, many of us have mistaken Ashura. In the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had spoken about the significance of Ashura, and many of us unfortunately have this misgiving and misconception that Ashura had gained its significance from the very sad incident that had taken place at Karbala. That when Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the grandson of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is not only a sad day in the history of Islam, but undoubtedly it is a sad day in the history of mankind, that the grandson of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam became shaheed because of the misgivings and misunderstanding of a few individuals. That is undoubtedly sad, but Ashura did not gain its significance because of that. And now another issue, that many of us feel that Ashura is a period in which we should be mourning. We should not have any nikahs, we should not have any walimas, it's a period of bad luck, that if a person gets married here, then that person is doomed. Respected and dear friends, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has stated, La tiyara fil Islam, that there is no ill luck in Islam, there is no ill fortune in Islam. On the one hand, the greatness of Allah, the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the other hand, undoubtedly, an incident that had taken place once in the history of Islam can never ever bring bad luck and outdo the great Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, as far as Shahadat is concerned, it is a thing that is matloob. It is a thing that is aspired and a thing that is an objective in the life of each and every mu'min, each and every believer. If you look at Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the various ahadith, in various words, in various riwayat, we find that he would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma arzukni shahadatan fi baladi rasulik alayhi salatu wa salam. O Allah, grant me shahadat in the city of your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was the dua that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu made. If you look at Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, just to look at a few examples, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu become shaheed. Before he become shaheed that night, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes to sleep. It is the time of Sehri, or slightly before Sehri, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes his Sehri, and then again Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes into a state of sleep, and then he makes ziyarat to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to him, O Uthman, that today you have made your Sehri on the dastarkhan, your own dastarkhan on the earth. Tonight you will make your iftar in my dastarkhan in Jannat. Respected and dear friends, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was ready for it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When his life, when he gave his life and he became shaheed, when he was assassinated, the blood spilt on the Quran of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was reading the ayats of Surah Baqarah, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمْ اللَّهُ. Allah be sufficient for the enemies of Islam. Like that, if we just look at the life of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this hadith appears as a mu'jiza, as a miracle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam looks at Hazrat Ali. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says to Ali, O Ali, it is as though I can see the person that will assassinate you. I can see your murderer. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam gives the description that he will strike his sword on your face alongside your head. And it is as though I can see the blood oozing out of that wound, and it will cover, the beard of Hazrat Ali was very, very thick. It will cover your whole and entire beard. And then, O Ali, remember that that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Hassan, the son of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, narrates, and this is a lesson for each one of us also. A few days before his martyrdom, a person by the name of Abdul Rahman ibn Maljam, the assassinator of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, comes to Hazrat Ali to borrow his camel. And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu lends his camel. And Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes a statement also that this is the person that will assassinate me. People asked him, O Amirul Mu'mineen, then why are you lending him your camel? Why don't you apprehend him? Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says his case is with Allah. That night Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes out, and when he looks at the night, and he says that hadhihi laylatu laylatul maw'uda, that this is the night on which I have been promised by the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu leaves going to the masjid. Hazrat Hassan says, I was a little distance away. He walked very fast, and I saw Abdul Rahman ibn Maljam come, and he struck my father on his head, exactly how the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it. And the blood oozed out of the wound, exactly how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described it. And his entire beard was filled with his blood, exactly as the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had described it. Respected and dear friends, the important thing is, Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that when I had come there, as Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had come to the ground, then I heard my father say, Fuztu wa Rabbil Kaaba, I have been successful, Qasam of Allah, who is the Lord of the Kaaba. So they, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu's father, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, undoubtedly he had accepted shahadat as a mode of success. Once somebody asked him the ayat of the Quran, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِيرُ. Allah Rabbul Izzat speaks about those believers who had made a mu'ahada with Allah. And brothers, when we say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we basically imply that we will fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will live in the obedience of Allah, in the pattern and in the tariqah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When a sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he had said La ilaha illallah, like how we made an ahad with Allah, like how we had made a pledge and a promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sahaba also made a pledge and a promise. But they pledge and their promise is, oh Allah, we will fight for your deen till the day we leave this world. That is the difference between us and Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Allah bears testimony to this in this ayat of the Quran. Min al-mu'minina rijalun sadaqu ma ahadullah alayh. Faminhum man qada nahbahu wa minhum man yantadhir. Then the Sahaba were in two groups now. There was one group of Sahaba who had fulfilled their covenant and their pledge. People asked Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu the interpretation of this ayat of the Quran Kareem. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu responded and he said that this refers to those who have become shaheed in the path of Allah. That they made a covenant, they made a pledge with Allah, that we have brought iman, and we will fight for the deen of Islam till the day we leave this world. And وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَذِرُ. And there are those who are waiting like ourselves. We are waiting to give our lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected and dear friends, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had given their life for the sake of Allah, and for them martyrdom, shahadat was something that was matloob, it was aspired, it was desired for Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. To this extent we find in a hadith of Mishkat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that that person mamata ala firashihi, that person that leaves this world, he dies on his bed. And that person did not make jihad, he did not fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, walam yuhaddith bihi nafsa, and he did not speak to himself regarding jihad fi sabilillah. In other words, never did the occasion arise that he made a niyyah that if it so happens that I will fight in the path of Allah, then I will go out and fight. He doesn't speak to himself, and let us in this Mubarak night, in this Mubarak majlis, in the masjid of Allah, in the house of Allah, let us also make this intention inshallah. If and when the occasion arises, we will give our lives for the sake of Allah. Inshallah. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, if you haven't done that much, then ma ta'ala shu'batin nifaq. That person has died on a breach, on a branch of hypocrisy. It doesn't mean that person became a munafiq, but what it means is he's a hypocrite to the kalima that he has read. Because one of the taqaza, one of the requisite of the kalima is that a person goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, respected and dear friends, in a nutshell, we may not be able to have that energy and that courage to go out and fight in the battlefield, because perhaps we will not die shaheed, we perhaps will die of shock. Hence, if that also we cannot do, but at least this much, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as he says, man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah, let us make jihad with our own nafs. Let us break our own desires. Let us break what our own wants, our own whims and our own fancies. And let us fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make this Muharram the turning point of our lives. Turn towards Allah Rabbul Izzat. Let us fulfill all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us leave those major sins, let us leave those minor sins. Let us make that hijrat that this hadith speaks about also. Let us turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Undoubtedly life is very, very short. Tomorrow we will all be in our qabr. Tomorrow we will be all facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected and dear friends, if we start the process and we make tawbah, and this is a very important issue also. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, At-tawbah to i'tiraf. What is tawbah? Let us admit our sins. Let us admit our wrongs, that we are breaking the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us turn towards Allah and continuously ask Allah for forgiveness. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi addresses this issue also, the issue of tawbah and istighfar. One is this, that a person is involved in a sin, and that person, because of circumstances, cannot leave the sin. If we take an example, not to speak ill of any other individual, like for example, a person is in riba, he is involved in riba, and he cannot come out of riba overnight, he is involved in that, then that person should continuously make istighfar, he should continuously ask Allah for forgiveness, so long as he does it with the truth of his heart, with the bottom of his heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve him. Allah will take him out of those circumstances. One is our irada, our intention. And one is the irada and the intention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When our intention is pakka and the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the two iradas meet, respected and dear friends, then with Allah's irada, Allah created this whole earth. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could do this, Allah will change our conditions, Allah will change our situations. So let us, brothers, those of us who have kept Roza today, let us continue the Roza tomorrow, the 10th. If you are unable to keep the Roza today, let us try and keep the Roza tomorrow, and then the next day on Sunday, let us fast only for the sake of Allah. In the hadith it comes, after the month of Ramadan, the best Rozas in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the month of Muharram. Hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this occasion, Allah has given us this chance for us to ponder, for us to reflect, for us to take stock of ourselves, for us to change our lives, turn the direction of our life, and inshallah, if we begin to change, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, may Allah ta'ala give us the ability, may Allah ta'ala change our halat and conditions. Let us make dua, brothers.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله طاهرين وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين لا إله إلا الله الملك الحق المبين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صادق الوعد الأمين رضينا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبسيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم رسولا ونبيا اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها عندك على الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا وأنت تجعل الحزن سهلا إذا شئت لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا الله ہماری تمام گناہوں کو معاف فرما يا الله بے شک ہم گنہگار ہے خطاوار ہے سیاکار ہے نالائق ہے يا الله تو ہماری مغفرت فرما دے والله يفق of each and every sin that we have committed, O Allah. O Allah, undoubtedly we are sinners, O Allah. Your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, O Allah, that that person that admits his sins, O Allah, you will accept his tawbah, O Allah. Here we sit in your house, O Allah, and we admit, O Allah, that we are gunhigar, we are sinners, O Allah. We know our condition, we know our status, O Allah. We know the condition of our hearts, O Allah. We know the ills within us, O Allah. O Allah, we know that hasad that we have, O Allah. O Allah, we know that hatred and the jealousy that we have within our hearts, that enmity that we have, O Allah. O Allah, we know that takabbur and that pride and that arrogance that we walk around with, O Allah. O Allah, you change all that, O Allah. Ey Allah, hamari tamam razail ko akhlaq-e-hamida se mubaddal farma de. O Allah, change all that for good qualities, O Allah. O Allah, grant the noor of your marifat, O Allah, into our hearts, O Allah. O Allah, you can do, O Allah. We are not worthy of it, O Allah, but O Allah, you, O Allah, have all the power to do so, O Allah. O Allah, change the condition of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, Palestine ki musalmano ki hal par tu raham farma. Ya Allah, Iraq ki musalmano ki hal par tu raham farma. Ya Allah, Shishan ki musalmano ki hal par tu raham farma. Ya Allah, Kashmir ki musalmano ki hal par tu raham farma. Ya Allah, Afghan ki musalmano ki hal par tu raham farma. Ya Allah, Sudan ki musalmano ki hal par tu raham farma. Ya Allah, Indonesia ki musalmano ki hal par tu raham farma. Ya Allah, Sri Lanka ki musalmano ki hal پر تو رحم فرما اے اللہ جہاں بھی مسلمان پریشان حال ہے اللہ ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما او اللہ there are many that have given their lives in your path او اللہ there are many that have spilled blood in your path او اللہ اے اللہ ان شہداء کی خون کے صدقے سے اے اللہ حالات کو بدل دے اے اللہ تیرے دین کو بلند فرما او اللہ through their صدقے
sadaqah of their blood, O Allah. You change the conditions, O Allah. Make your deen dominant, O Allah, like how you had made in the times of Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Anhum Ajma'in. Ya Allah, Haramain Sharifain ki hifazat farma. O Allah, protect each and every masjid, O Allah, that is on this earth, O Allah. Protect each and every idara, each and every institute that is propagating your deen, O Allah. O Allah, protect each and every markas of the tabligh, O Allah. Ya Allah, har khanka ko, Ya Allah, tu hifazat farma. O Allah, undoubtedly, O Allah, it becomes difficult for us to practice our deen, O Allah. You give us the strength and the courage, O Allah, to fulfill this, O Allah. Ya Allah, teri muhabbat hame naseeb farma. Ya Allah, teri muhabbat hame naseeb farma. Ya Allah, teri maarifat hame naseeb farma. Ya Allah, tu hamara banja, hum apna bana de. Ya Allah, Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki sachi pakki muhabbat hame naseeb farma. Ya Allah, Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki mubarak tareeqa par chalne ki taufeeq ata farma. O Allah, give us the ability, O Allah. And O Allah, remove all those complexes that we have in our hearts, O Allah, to fulfill the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Undoubtedly, O Allah, some of us are afraid. O Allah, undoubtedly some of us have the inferiority complex, O Allah. Remove all those difficulties, O Allah, and let us fulfill each and every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. O Allah, give us the tawfiq of inculcating, O Allah, the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ya Allah, masjid ki muhabbat hame naseeb farma, Quran ki muhabbat hame naseeb farma. Ya Allah, if our parents are living, O Allah, grant them long life, O Allah. O Allah, grant them a life of good health, O Allah. O Allah, save them from ill health. O Allah, do not make them muhtaj and dependent on anybody or anything, O Allah. O Allah, if they have left this world, Ya Allah, unki maghfirat farma de. Ya Allah, unki maghfirat farma de. Ya Allah, unko jannatul firdaus naseeb farma, unki darajat ko buland farma. Ya Allah, unki qubur ko munawwar farma. Ya Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had asked throughout his life, O Allah, for many, many good things, O Allah. Like that Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam had asked for good. O Allah, Sahaba ikram has asked for good. O Allah, your servants had asked for the good. O Allah, all the good that they had asked for, O Allah, you granted to us also. O Allah, they had sought you, O Allah, your refuge from all the evils, O Allah. O Allah, we also seek all the refuge from all those evils. O Allah, there are many that had requested us to make dua, O Allah. Fulfill, O Allah, all the needs and necessities, O Allah. O Allah, those who have hope, O Allah, that you will make dua for them, O Allah, fulfill their needs and necessities. O Allah, those who have a haqq and a right upon us, O Allah, fulfill their needs and necessities, O Allah. O Allah, make us obedient servants to you. O Allah, make us obedient ummatis to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the time of maut, O Allah, give us the tawfiq, the strength and the ability, O Allah, before maut, O Allah, that we make tawbah and nasuha. Such a tawbah, O Allah, that you accept. Ey Allah, maut ke waqt, Allah, kalima shahada, rashadu Allah, ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammad abduhu wa rasuluhu, Ey Allah, hamare zuban par jari ho. Ey Allah, give us maut at the time when we are practicing, Ya Allah, amal of deen. O Allah, give us maut at the time when you are pleased with us, O Allah. Give us maut at the time when you are out striving in your path, O Allah. O Allah, give us maut in the beloved city of your beloved Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, kal qiyamat ke din hamay ruswana karna. O Allah, do not humiliate us tomorrow on the day of qiyamah, O Allah. O Allah, through your fadl and karam, O Allah, not that we are worthy of it, O Allah, grant us jannatul firdaus. Ey Allah, bagheer istihqaq hame jannatul firdaus naseeb farma. O Allah, give us the greatest of all the ni'mats, O Allah, that we have a glimpse of your tajalli, O Allah, in jannatul firdaus. O Allah, you accept this dua through the sadaqah of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa habibina wa shafi'ina wa maulana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma hadha dua wa ilayka al-ijaba wa hadha al-juhd wa alayka al-tuklan. La hawla wa la quwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.